We will have to look at every situation and what that responsibility is and how a person can manage that responsibility. So if it's like, for example, Salat with Jama'ah, at that same time he has to do something, then we'll have to see the intensity and the severity, how important it is to do that. And if he doesn't do it, what will be the detrimental consequences? So you'll have to look at these two situations and then decide. For example, the person has work and he's got no other job. He cannot get another job. And he doesn't get a break at his salat time. Then he is in a difficult situation, because if you tell this person to leave his job just to perform his namaz in the masjid, then for him to acquire halal sustenance is obligatory, and to perform salat in the masjid is sunnah and it's wajib. So there's two things which are clashing here. And if you tell him, leave your job, and he doesn't get another job which is suitable, he could lead him to be kufr as well, because he might become despondent and become unhappy with his situation, and he might lose faith altogether. So you have to be very careful in such a situation. So we would advise that, carry on with a job at the moment, try to look for another job in which you can perform salat at this time. At the moment, stay in this job, do istighfar and perform your salat when you get the time. Because you're not in a Muslim country. If you're in a Muslim country, then it'll be the rule of the land that at salat times you have to shut up, you have to close up. But you're not there. So obviously you have to look at everything, and you have to look at practicalities of life. You see, the thing is, one problem we have is we don't become proactive. We become very defensive. So we don't need to be defensive. We need to be proactive, and we need to explain. And most people, when you explain to them, they understand. If you explain to them in a proper way, they understand. I know a person, he was on a managerial level, and every day he had to have meetings with various people. So when he started becoming religious, then he had this realization that I shouldn't shake hands with women. So he was in a dilemma, that what should I do? So he took the courage and he emailed the person before going to meet her. Look, I'm a Muslim and my Sharia says that I should respect women, and part of respect is that I don't touch you. Not that I have anything against you, is my respect. That's how I take respect to be. And please be understanding. So they are fine about it. So it is really up to you how you put yourself forward and how you sell yourself. Inverted commas. How you sell yourself, how you present yourself, how you present the deen to people. If you don't have it inside you, if you feel all scared, and if you don't feel confident, then obviously you can't do nothing about that. Obviously, every disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a negative effect on a person. Now, the exact what negative effect the music has, in according to some hadith, it is said that music creates hypocrisy in the heart. So that is a negative effect of this sin. So that is what's mentioned. Exactly what will happen after that, Allah Ta'ala knows. But obviously if a person habitually commits a sin, then this can lead to further sin, from being deprived of the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and can eventually lead to kufr as well. So obviously any sin, if a person becomes habituated to it and he belittles that sin, and he continues doing it despite knowing, and this is very dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. It describes the avenues where sadaqah can be spent. And in this explanation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. So these are the eight categories where zakah can be distributed. And for each of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ, the word lam, which denotes giving ownership. So zakat can only be given in a manner where ownership is given to someone. So therefore, if you give something to a non-human, like a building, then there's no ownership there. So zakat cannot be used down there. Someone is asking that, is it permissible to finance a car on 0% interest? If the contract of the car is within the limits of Sharia, then yes, possible. But I have to look at the contract. Contract of the finance. How is the contract of the finance? Is 0% interest, but is it a lease contract which automatically leads to ownership, and that's not permissible. So you have to look at the contract, exactly how it is. Some people are asking, are student loans permissible if they have interest? No, they're not permissible if he has interest. Then how can you have an education? So education is not fard. So there's no need down there. Education is not fard. What's fard? Fard is for you to earn a livelihood. So you don't have to be educated to earn a livelihood. If you say, no, I want to get educated, then there's many other ways. You can get sponsorship. You can borrow money. You can earn money and then study. So there's lots of avenues. If you want to do something in a permissible way, there are many avenues. So you have to look for alternative avenues. If a person doesn't take a student loan, it's not the end of the world. There's many other options available. So therefore, this is not a valid excuse to take a student loan with interest. Are you allowed to dye your hair black? For it is not permissible to use pure black dye for men, unless there's few situations. And those situations are normally not applicable. So in general case, no. But you can use other colored dyes. You can use a dark brown if you wanted to. You can use a dark brown which has a bit of black in it, which makes it very dark. But you can't use pure black. Pure black has been forbidden in the hadith. Does swearing break your fast? It doesn't break your fast. Only those things which are contrary to the arkan of fasting break the fast. But however, any sins, they break the spirituality of the fast. You lose the spirituality of the fast. You lose reward in the fast. The reward of the fast will be lost. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has no need for you to stay hungry if you don't stay away from sins. And like we discussed today, the purpose of fasting is to learn to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you stay hungry but you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not really fulfilling the objective of fasting. This is a good question. Someone is asking, what is the best way to give up a bad habit? And how can one abstain from going back to a bad habit that he has given up? A bad habit, when it is related to one's desires, then to get rid of the habit, there's only one solution, and that is to use your courage. There's no other way that you can leave something which is desirous unless you use your courage. You have to use your courage. And Allah Ta'ala has given everyone courage. He has the strength inside him to stay away from that sin. So if he has taken the courage and stopped committing that sin, then he is worthy of much congratulation. Now the thing is that he has to maintain this. He has to maintain this. Now to maintain that, what you need to do is frequently stay in the company of the pious people. A person, he falls into sin when he becomes negligent. And when does he become negligent? When he goes in the environment of negligence. So in order to stay away from the environment of negligence, a person has to stay in the environment of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the environment of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the company of the pious people. So when a person stays attached to the pious people, stays in the company, stays frequently in with them, comes in the company, takes lessons from them, converses with them, stays with them, this will assist him in staying away from this sin. The other thing that will assist him is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing which will assist him is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now as humans, sometimes we might become negligent. So if you become negligent, it doesn't mean that your habit is now gone back to normal. If you slip once, it doesn't mean that you give up. See, many young people, what they do is they take up the courage. They maybe go in Jamaat or something, or they come to the masjid, or they come to a program like this, and they make a firm intention, I'm not going to commit this sin anymore. And 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, they're going well. And Ramzan finishes, Eid day comes, and the next day they fall into sin. The reason for this is because the barakah of Ramadan, coming in pious company, you kept this habit and you kept yourself away from this sin, But as soon as Ramadan finished, then you went into the environment of sin. You went into the environment and you were unable to control yourself. So what you need to do is once you slip, then you don't let yourself keep slipping. Then you stop there again. You come back and you do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a sincere repentance not to do this again. And you will see then you keep this habit up again. Try to stop yourself. Because you can only use your courage. You have to use your courage. If after 1 month you slip again, then you don't let yourself go and think that, oh, I tried two times, now it's gone. No. You think the first time you slipped after 3 days, the second time you slipped after 6 days, then you slipped after 2 weeks, then you slipped after 1 month. If you keep doing tawbah and hold fast to yourself, you will see soon you'll get rid of this sin. But what happens is that as young people, we get despondent. Shaitan makes us despondent and says, oh, you tried, no, your habit just came back. No, your habit hasn't just come back. You've slipped, you made a mistake, you become negligent. So come in the company of the pious people, sit in the company, stay with them, do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use your courage again. Very soon, you will be able to get rid of this habit forever. And even if you don't, but if you keep trying, that you slip and then you make a firm intention again, that I'm not going to do it again, then you keep trying. And after 2 months, you slip again, and you keep trying. You don't let it go. And you continue like this till you pass away. You can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I tried. You can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I tried. I tried my best. Every time I slipped, I made a firm intention again. You will go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without sins. My respected Shaykh Hafizullah always says this, that there are two people. One person, he sins. And he doesn't do tawbah and istighfar. He thinks that I can't get rid of this habit. He just keeps sinning. And the other person, he makes an intention to stop the sin. He makes an intention to stop the sin and he makes a firm intention, does tawbah, he stops, and then after a few days he slips. Then he makes an intention again and he does tawbah and he slips. He does tawbah again, he slips. If both continue like this for 20 years, after 20 years, this person who does sin and tawbah, he keeps trying his best. Every time he does proper tawbah, he makes a firm intention, I'm not going to do this again. And he slips. So for 20 years, the amount of sin he's done is the same as this person. The difference is that this person has 20 years of sins. This person has no sins. Because he has done tawbah every time. When a person does tawbah, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّمِّ كَمَنْ لَا ذَمَّ لَهُ. The person who does tawbah is like he has no sins. So therefore, never give up. Never ever give up. If you slipped, doesn't matter. You're going to slip because you are humans. But what we shouldn't do is slip and then continue like this. Slip and come back up. Come into the company of the pious people and come back up. Use your courage again. Very soon, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will assist you and you'll get rid of this habit.
If you do not wake up for Sahri, can you still fast? Yes, you can. Just make intention that I'm fasting and just carry on. Inshallah. A person who grows up in the non-Islamic family and grows up and doesn't become Muslim, so people say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unfair. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unfair? Because whatever you do is with your own initiative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil, He is just. And He has given everyone the faculty of intellect. And He has given everyone the strength to use his intellect. So if a person is in a non-Muslim environment, but he knows about Islam, he sees Muslim, it is his duty to find out about Islam and study Islam and come to the right path. And any person who has it within himself to look for the truth, then he will come to the right path. Allah Ta'ala will surely guide him. So you cannot say it's unfair because every person has their own choice. If everyone did not have this strength to take their own choices, then there'll be no point of resurrection, there'll be no point of accountability, there'll be no point of Jannat and Jahannam, because you will be just robots. And a robot cannot be accountable for anything. We as humans, we are not robots. We have been given a decree of choice in our life. And it's because of this decree of choice that we have, we are destined for, or we get accounted for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't matter where you grow up or which environment you are in, it is your responsibility to look for the truth.
How do you lower your gaze? Put your eyes down.
Look down. Lower your gaze. Lowering your gaze is your action, not my action. It's your action. So you lower your gaze. You can't say, I can't lower my gaze. You can. You use your courage. You have to use your courage. And if you're finding it, if you keep forgetting to lower your gaze, if you keep forgetting to lower your gaze, then you have to come in the company of the pious people, sit in good environment, do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, create within yourself the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when you're on the street, you remember to lower your gaze. And what will happen is when a person, if he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala rid me of this sin, then Allah ta'ala will assist him. So what he should do is that before he leaves the house, he should say to himself that I'm going to go out of the house, I need to go for this errand, I'm going to lower my gaze, I'm not going to look at non-mahram women, I'm going to control myself. Oh Allah, assist me. And with this, if you leave the house, even if you sleep one or two times, you will see that out of 10 times, you've saved yourself 2 times. These 2 times you have saved yourself, this creates a nur in your heart. Because the Prophet ﷺ says that when a person does something good, a light and nur enters his heart. So before you were negligent, you used to just go on the street and just look here and there. You used to just look here and there and you used to commit sins. Now you are leaving the house with this thought in mind that I want to control myself. I don't want to look. I don't want to commit this sin. Because you're going with this intention and you're making this conviction, at least from 10 times you will at least remember once. So one time you remember once. This will create a nur. Next time you remember 2 times. Next time you remember 3 times. Next time you remember 4 times. And very soon you'll be able to rid yourself of this sin. So how can you lower your gaze? You lower it. Use your strength. Similarly, with every sin which is related to carnal desires, every sin which is related to carnal desires, you have to control yourself. You have to use your courage. If you say, I can't stop myself, how can you say you can't stop yourself? When you want to commit this sin, if I come there with a gun, I said, if you do it, I'll shoot you. Would you do it? Where did your strength come from? If you want to commit that sin and your father walks into the room, would you do that sin? Where did your strength come from? That means that you have the strength. But at that time, your heart is negligent from a being whom you are fearing. You are negligent of a being who you don't have shame for. So if you create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all His might and power, then you will feel scared to commit that sin in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never commit that sin. Because whenever you want to commit a sin, you will think Allah is watching me and He can destroy me right now. He can punish me. He can take my life. I will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this condition. Would I want to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this condition? No, I wouldn't want to. So, any sins which are related to the carnal desires, any sins, the way to control yourself is to bring the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know that if someone is seeing you, you will not do this. And who? No one can be with you all the time. But there is one being who can be with you all the time. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you create the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, with all His sifat and qualities of His might and power, then you will be able to always save yourself from sins. Because He's always with you. And to do that, you have to come in the company of the pious people and make effort. Train yourself. Train yourself to think like this. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing as that I can't help it. There is no such thing as that I can't stop myself. You can't stop yourself. You are not stopping yourself. This is the first problem shaitan has put inside you that you can't stop yourself. So you have already closed the door of any rectification. No, say to yourself, I can stop myself, but I am not stopping myself. When you come to this point that I am not stopping myself, then you will say, no, I can't stop myself and I want to stop myself. I have to stop myself. So you can't stop yourself. This is a wrong thing to think that I can't stop myself. Every person can stop themselves. So every sin in this month, every sin of this type, this is the solution. And then if you still persist, then you should contact a sheikh. You should contact a authentic, reliable, experienced sheikh who can assist you and he will guide you. He will assist you in how to contemplate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to do certain
muraqabah, how to do certain meditations, or he'll give you some solutions and ways to control yourself, you should contact him. And you shouldn't be shy about this. These sins are common in young people. And when you go to a sheikh and you will ask him, don't think that he'll think bad of you. He'll think good of you, that you are concerned about the hereafter. So there's nothing to be shy about. You can talk to him privately. He's not going to tell the whole world that you're doing this sin. He will keep it a secret. And very quickly you'll be able to get rid of this sin, especially when you're young. If you let the sin carry on, it'll become more strong. And it'll become more difficult as you grow older. What is the reason for not reciting Bismillah at the beginning of Surah Tawbah? There are a number of reasons. The main reason is that when the Quran was put together in written format by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, these two surah, the Surah Bara'ah, was found all together and there was no Bismillah in it. And because there was no Bismillah in it, there was a assumption that it was related to the surah before it and it was part of it, or it was a surah in itself. So the Sahaba, they decided to put the Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Tawbah together and leave the Bismillah, because there was no Bismillah in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why there is no Bismillah there. Is it better for a woman to pray at home or in the mosque? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's better for her to pray at home. In the month of Ramadan, when a person changes, does he only change for that month or forever? Every person should aspire to change his life forever, not just for the month of Ramadan. A person shouldn't just do a temporary change and say, I'm going to change till Eid. And a person shouldn't think as well that, oh, I'm not going to change after Eid, so I'm not going to change in the month of Ramadan. That's also wrong. A person should make an intention that he's going to change forever, and he should make an effort for that. Even if in the back of his mind he feels that after Ramadan I'm going to go back to my old ways, but he should do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should tell himself that, Allah, give me the tawfiq to continue with this tawbah after the month of Ramadan. So a person should always have hope and have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will assist him, and always make a good intention that I'm going to change forever. Someone has asked this question. In the Quran it is mentioned that you can marry four women. It is in the context of when you can't deal unjustly with orphans, and what is the correlation between this? So actually this verse was revealed because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone would die and his daughter would come under his authority and his guardianship, and that woman would be permissible for him to marry, then he would marry her or he would not marry her. And that would depend on factors such as wealth and things like this. So if he would marry her just for her wealth, then he would be unjust to her. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that don't just marry a woman for her wealth or something, for your worldly benefit. Marry her for the sake of marrying. So therefore, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that you can marry 2, 3, 4 women, meaning that Allah has permitted for you to marry multiple women, provided that you are able to fulfill all of their rights and there is a need for you to marry them. But don't marry just for the sake of marrying and then be unjust to them. That's why it is in this context. What is tawfiq? What is tawfiq? Tawfiq means the gathering and assembly of the means to do good. That's what tawfiq means. Allah Ta'ala has given you tawfiq means Allah Ta'ala has provided for you and made the situation for you such that you are able to carry this good deed out. So that's what tawfiq is. That the asbab and the means are there for you. That's what tawfiq is. So when we ask for tawfiq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that Allah ta'ala gives us the means and then He gives us the courage to do that good deed. Someone is asking, if I have a land and will sell it to buy some other property, do I have to pay zakat? If you have the cash at the time when your zakat year comes, then you'll have to pay zakat on that. If you buy another property for yourself, then you don't have to give zakat. Does hugging a female break your fast? It doesn't break your fast in principle. Does shaking hands with a woman break your fast? In principle, it doesn't break your fast. Fasting means to stay away from food, drink, and cohabitation with one's wife. So if anyone does this during fasting, his fast will break. If he does it forgetfully, meaning he doesn't remember that he's fasting, then his fast won't break.
But if he knowingly does it, then his fast will break. And there is forgiveness for every sin. There is no such thing as that any sin can't be forgiven. In this world, any sin can be forgiven. And once you pass away, Allah can forgive any sin, except Allah will not forgive ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Apart from this, any other sin is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can forgive or he can punish, as long as you go with iman. In this world, until you die, any sin can be forgiven. Even if you commit shirk and you do tawbah and you become a believer, that's forgiven as well. Islam removes every sin. So any sin can be forgiven in this world. Even if you kill someone, your sin can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other sins, if you do while you are fasting, lying, cheating, watching something which is impermissible, listening to music, all of these don't break the fast, but you will lose the reward of fasting. The question is, are you allowed to buy a house with interest? So this is obviously to deal in interest, give interest, take interest, impermissible. So stay on rent, don't need to buy a house. Look, brother, your ideal in Sharia is no person on this earth, because the ideal in Sharia is Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after the Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of seeing someone doing something and that being a evidence to do something, doesn't exist. And I already mentioned in the talk that despite ilm, you can still do mistakes. So you don't see that, oh, Imam Sahib's got a house with an interest, so I can do it as well. That doesn't mean anything. If Imam Sahib commits a sin, doesn't mean you can commit a sin. If an alim in your locality does a sin, doesn't mean you can commit a sin. He's got knowledge and he's committed a sin. You've got knowledge as well, that you know that this is a sin. So what should we do? Well, we shouldn't follow them. So there is more reward. More mujahada means more reward. More mujahada is more reward. So you can't buy a house on interest. So what should you do? You've got two options. Either borrow money from friends and family and buy a house, or either stay on rent. And majority of the people in this country, I'm sure a lot of people stay on rent in this country. So it is a norm of this country. Sharia bank. Is there a Sharia bank or not? Allahu alam. I haven't checked it. I haven't regulated it. I don't know what's going on there, so I can't say anything. If for the lay person, keep this rule in mind, for a lay person, he is obliged to ask the people of dhikr, people of knowledge, in terms of his dini and his religious obligations. So what a person should do is he should consult a reliable, authentic, good mufti who is well versed in his knowledge and he is pious, and ask him to give you a fatwa for your situation, and take one person as your guide. Choose one authentic mufti that you have faith in, the one you trust, the one you are inclined towards, the one you feel comfortable with. Take him as your guide. And in all your matters relating to fiqh, or to all your dini matters, consult him. And whatever he says, you do it. If he says, take it from Sharia bank, take it from Sharia bank. If he says, don't take it from Sharia bank, don't take it from Sharia bank. It's as simple as that. And if someone doesn't know any mufti like this, then he has a choice to check the Sharia bank, who's on their board, who are the people who are checking this, how much are they checking. Are those people God-fearing? You know, a person can see their faces and his heart will tell you that he should trust this person or not. Every person has a heart. Remember, everyone has a heart. And his heart will tell him that is he following the desires or is he following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. You know, if a person is sincere, his heart will tell him which way to go. So if he sees the board of the Sharia bank and he has trust in them and he has confidence that they are checking everything and they are God-fearing people, and whatever they are saying, your heart is not saying that this sounds dodgy, then you have the choice to take up that option. And you have the choice to be precautious as well.
But you asking me is telling me that you think it's dodgy. So therefore, you know the answer. Someone is asking, if someone gives you a gift to give to someone else and you lose the giver's contact details and the details of the person who gave it to you, so this thing is obviously a lukta and you have to find the ownership. So obviously if you know where you came from, just say you came from Pakistan and you know it's from your city, your village, so you can make some, try your best to find the owner, ask your family where you came from, who gave it to you, try your best to look for the owner, advertise the item where you got it from, that, you know, I've got this item, I've forgotten the details of the person who owns this. And if you get a response, then give it to that person. And if you don't get a response, after a period of time when you are content that the owner's not going to come and I can't get to the owner, then give it away in charity. Someone has asked this question, إِنَّ السَّلَاةِ كَانَ الْمُنِي كِتَابٌ مَوْقُودَ. The salat is upon its appointed time. But the salat in the masjid is 1 hour late. It doesn't make sense. The salat is in its appointed time means there is a fixed time for salat. So in that time, salat has to be performed. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that as soon as the time starts, you have to pray straight away. It means that salat has a specific time. So during that time, the salat has to be performed. So that's what it means. So it doesn't mean that if the beginning time is 10:45, then 10:45 is the time for salat. Is the time of salat from 10:45 all the way till 3 o'clock? Then during that time, salat has to be performed. So if it's 1 hour late, meaning 1 hour after beginning time, it's permissible. Now there's difference of opinion where should namaz be performed? All the salat supposed to be performed right at the beginning time? Or there's detail, Hanaf, they have certain details. For Fajr, they say, in normal days, you should pray later, towards sunrise. For Zuhar, there's details, summer, winter. Asr, according to us, is that you should try to delay as much as possible. Maghrib should be done immediately. Isha is preferable to 1/3 of night. Or if not, then as long as most people can make to the Jama'ah, it doesn't cause people inconvenience. So we're keeping these things in mind, keeping the congregation in mind. The times of Salat are fixed by the Masajid. Someone is asking a question on taqdeer. If Allah knows what you're going to do good and bad in your life, then what's the use of doing good and bad? Allah knows, but Allah knows you're going to do this with your choice. So you are doing with your choice. Allah's ilm is there. Allah's knowledge is there. So Allah's knowledge is there that you are going to do this with your choice. So you have to do good and bad. Well, you don't have to do bad, you have to do good. You have to do good. And your good and bad, you'll be accounted for. So because of Allah's knowledge being there, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be, it doesn't mean you're a robot. Allah's knowledge is there that you're going to do this with your choice. That is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a difficult one, a difficult meaning. What do you do if a girl or woman puts her hand front to you, shake your hand? What do you do then? What are you going to do? You can say politely, sorry, I don't shake hands. Next time she'll remember that if she's a Muslim, she shouldn't shake hands. But what we'll do, we get scared and we just go like that. We should have it inside us that we have this modesty and shame that how can I touch a hand of a non-mahram? It is against my modesty and haya that I touch a hand. It's a respect that I have for her. We shouldn't fall into inferiority complex. How old do you have to be to lead Taraweeh and Salat? Then you have to be baligh. What are signs of maturity? Ask your teachers. Is it halal to have a fade haircut? It's not permissible to have a fade haircut. The Prophet ﷺ said, Qaza is not permissible. Qaza means to shave part of their head and leave the other part long. That's what Qaza means. That is impermissible. We've come to all the questions. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We've got some time till Suhoor is out, 2:45. 3 o'clock is Suhoor time. It's 1 whole hour left. So in this hour, this could be Laylatul Qadr, because according to one opinion of the ulama, Laylatul Qadr can be in any days of Ramadan, any night of Ramadan. So we shouldn't waste any time. So it is free time, you are at choice. Do some tilawat of the Quran. Engage yourself in some salah. If anyone wants to ask something in private, then I'll still be available around. You can come and talk to me if you want to. That's option as well. Otherwise, do some ibadah. And don't waste your time. Otherwise, you will waste this good time you have spent. We have spent nearly 2 hours here in the masjid, and including Tarawih, three and a half hours. It will go to waste by doing a sin. So control yourself, keep yourself occupied. If you feel a bit tired, maybe you can go into the foyer for a while. But try to spend in the masjid. In the masjid, try to make the masjid an environment of ibadah, environment of doing worship.